Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up!
Edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Katrair. What's going on, Katrair?
Not much.
Well, there's a big surprise tonight. Can you believe it? Our other co-host is actually joining us. Craig, how are you doing today?
To be fair, I was off 2 weeks, but one of the weeks you were off, so I was really only gone a week. So with that said, I'm doing well. How are you, Ed?
I'm actually doing pretty good.
It was only tonight that I remembered that this show existed.
Yeah.
Well, I had a lot. I was running a lot of errands, and then I fell asleep, and I forgot to book the show. But I got it done on time. Everything was cool. I even got the plug to Brian ahead of time. So.
It's
all good. So what's going on? Where you been, Craig?
Oh, goodness. Let me see. 2 weeks ago, when there actually was a show that I wasn't on, went on a little vacation, and I thought I could have some cell reception out on the coast, but that was a lie. I didn't have cell reception out there, and I wasn't able to call in. So I did my best, but unfortunately out on the coast here in Washington, they don't like AT&T, apparently. So, anyway, so yeah, just took a little vacation, headed to the ocean. It was real nice. And last week, I had my son's kindergarten graduation.
Kindergarten graduation. What are they, like 4 years old when they go to kindergarten?
Five. Yeah.
Was he excited?
Yeah.
Does a five-year-old actually understand what a graduation ceremony is?
Well, he was excited for it, so I'm assuming yes.
Okay. I mean, that's cool. I mean, you know, I don't have kids, so I don't know what it's like
sure.
to have them to go to a graduation, but I guess it's something that I think I would mark out for if I was a parent.
Marking out's a strong word. I don't get excited about a lot of things, let's be honest. But... Yeah.
You just
played
your child isn't dumb and got to graduate.
Well, there is that. Yeah, he is not dumb. So I'm happy about that, yes. It was awful
cool.
Cute wearing a little cap and gown, though, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I saw a picture. He did look pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think your wife had posted one of them. But yeah. But Katrair, where you been, Katrair?
I've been... keeping children for about the past 2 weeks. My sister's been in town and been keeping her three kids, mostly just the two boys. So the girls go and do other stuff. So
I've
been playing a lot of Xbox and watching a lot of Transformers and stuff.
You stepped on my joke when you said I've been keeping children. I was going to say, do their parents now?
Yes, I know.
Anyway.
I'll yeah, I forgot about them in the bathtub that one night, but, I mean, that's just an aberration. So,
cool. Well, I'm sure both of you guys were having a hell of a lot better time than I was having last week, because last week was, I thought I was going to die by the end of the night.
Drunk, huh? Stoned?
Yeah. Huh?
Drunk, stoned, both?
Neither.
Oh.
Luckily, you know, we split a bike in it, and that kind of helped. But basically, like, from Thursday to Saturday morning, pretty much nonstop except when I had to go do the paper up. We moved Barb out of her apartment into, like, this new place. And I don't know how many times I went up and down those damn steps to her apartment carrying heavy boxes. I mean, trip after trip. Well, we hired movers to move the heavy shit, which of course, on the day she has to move out, she texted me from work asking if I could find some movers for tonight. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Luckily, I found some movers, but it took them, like, and so we hired them for 2 hours, you know, and then, of course, you know, every hour is extra. We ended up having them for five, and that was just the major stuff. And then after that, I pretty much had to do everything in and out of the apartment. So by the end of the night, I think it took me about 2 minutes to climb the stairs because my legs were just gone. And then it was just the most horrendous thing ever.
Moving's the most biggest hassle in the fucking world. That's the worst thing. Having to move.
The what?
It's the biggest hassle in the fucking world, moving is.
It is, because, I mean, she had, like, some friends come and, like help arrange and box everything. My job was just doing all the damn hard work. But, yeah, I mean, that just, man, we were just, it was, we couldn't wait for that thing to be over.
That's worse than having to be in somebody's wedding or some shit like that.
I'll say. I mean, what are you talking about?
I determined last time that I moved that, I'm going to have all my shit in order, like, for, you know, I'm not going to have any shit spread out all over my house. It's all going to be, like, neat somewhere. So if I ever have to move again, I'll be ready.
Well, I wish Barbara would have took that advice, because she did not have everything ready. She waited to the last minute, and it was, she almost killed me. That's all I can say. Thank God Vegas is a month away, and I get 2 weeks vacation. But anyway, we did have a guest. I actually had him lined up 2 weeks in a row. He was going to do it last week, but unfortunately we couldn't do it. And then this week he said he'd do it, and then he emailed me earlier today saying that he totally forgot about the USC show that he has to cover. So he's not going to join us. So we'll have him on later on talking about his book. But since it was kind of last minute, and we actually had kind of an idea of what we were going to talk about, we'll just kind of stick to it. And that is, we're going to talk about wrestling, real tough guys. And which is a kind of hard, really, subject to, I mean, it's going to be a fun subject to talk about, but it's going to be a hard subject to talk about, because who's really tough and who really just projected that image that they were tough and they really weren't? I mean,
Well, nobody from today's wrestling, that's for sure.
Well, that's not necessarily, you know, because I think a former UFC world champion wrestled for the WWE. So that's not totally
true.
So they think. But like, I guess the best place to start is we'll go ahead and we'll start talking about the legendary guys, even though we've probably never seen them work. We just know them by legend. And, you know, of course, I guess the number one tough guy that would stick out, and if you believe, like, the stories and the legends about this guy, you pretty much could say that he probably could have competed in UFC. And if UFC was around in his when he was in his prime, he probably would have been like a major name. And that would be, of course, Lou Dez.
I didn't like him. He had no psychology and didn't know how to work.
Yeah.
I really can't say much about him because I don't really know that much about him, so...
Well, you've never seen Lou Dez, but I mean, you know a lot about him just from all the stories and the observers and all that.
I heard he was tough. There.
Craig, your opinion on this?
He chased a sheik under a bus in the snow one time.
Unfortunately, you brought up somebody that I never saw wrestle. I mean, to be honest, I mean, I never saw the guy wrestle. I don't know a lot about him. I just know he was a tough dude. And that's just from, you know, secondhand stories. I can't go off of anything that I've seen with my own two eyes. There's just, you know what I mean? I mean.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess, you know, for what I know of Luke Dance, other than little clips, I've never actually seen him work myself. I mean, he's way before our time. But
yeah.
He was the world champion at a time when they were very scared. Promoters were trying to, like, do some independent shit, and there was always a fear of the challenger shooting on the champion and trying to, screw job. I'm sorry, I got distracted. You know, screw job. And it didn't happen a lot, but it actually did. And there's actually a news story says here in San Antonio about that actually happening. And I couldn't tell you who the promoter was. It was such a long time ago, but it was Luke Dez, and it was going to be Luke Dez versus Paul Bosch. And the promoter told Bosch to shoot on him. So when the match started, Bosch just immediately punched Luke right in the face, kind of like, you know, so hard enough that he took Luke down, and he tried to, I don't know if he tried to get the pin, and Luke was able to, like, you know, get himself together, kind of kick out. So when he got up, Bosch hit him again, tried to do the same thing, and then, you know, he was still able to kind of kick out, and then within a couple minutes later, Paul Bosch was screaming for his life and screaming that it was the promoter that told him to do it. And, he put a hurting on Bosch there after he did take a couple punches. But, you know, so that shit actually did happen. So, I mean, but to be trusted to be the world champion, when shit like that can go on, I mean, just right there, that has to say something about who you are or how tough you are.
I think he had a thing about he wouldn't lose to anybody unless they had, like, some credentials. Or else he thought highly of their skills.
Yeah. I think there might have been like a couple of friends of his that maybe he kind of didn't, you know, think they were up to stuff that he actually, because they were friends, might have done the job. But yeah, he was very picky. I think they said that he would not be a great world champion by today's standards, because he wasn't like Ric Flair who went in and made the guys look great. He'd go in there, if he didn't respect the guy, he'd kill the guy.
Yeah.
And he didn't give a fuck if it was the top guy in the territory. But, since we don't know a whole lot about
him. I saw him wrestle, I think it was in 1990, I saw him wrestle Masachono with Japan.
Oh, that's right. Wasn't he like 70-something years old
it was like,
at the time?
Wasn't it like it was maybe his sixth decade in the sport or something, sixth or seventh decade in the sport, I think was the thing.
Yeah.
It was in Pro Wrestling Illustrated, I remember.
Yeah, that's how I remember reading about it. And
I guess
he was like a mentor to Chono.
Yeah.
And he lost
to
the
STF. He beat him with the STF, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I've heard that he wasn't happy about the match, that, you know, he just was just
too old
to really
do. I think he blew his hip out in the first move of the match. I think that's what happened.
I could see that happening. I mean, he was so old and stuff. But, you know, that's just like, when you hear about legendary tough guys, that's like the first name that kind of pops up. I was actually going to bring up Frank Gotch, but Frank Gotch is older than Luke Dez, so, you know, what are we going to know other than Frank Gotch is the one that he beat Ed Hackenshack?
Hackenshack.
That dude. Well, anyway, he's like supposed to beat him twice in legitimate matches. And, you know, so he's kind of got like a little aura, even though who knows if he was really that tough. It was just, you know.
Did they have their T-shirts made back then that they sold called, they going to hit him with the hack and smack? That's his finish.
Yeah.
I heard. You've been hack and smashed.
My grandfather is 96, and he talks about him when he sees me watching wrestling, which is not very often, but when he sees me watching wrestling, he'll talk about him. So he made a great impression on my grandfather, who hates professional wrestling, but at 96 still talks about the man. So there you go.
I remember seeing he refereed on one of those Coliseum videotapes. He refereed Roddy Piper and Jimmy Snuka match in like 84. The only other time I've seen him, I think.
Well, if you've seen the Wrestling Gold, he refereed a Bruiser Brody Nick Bockwinkel match.
Oh, where was that, in San Antonio?
Yeah, it was here in San Antonio, and it was it's one of those matches where you're like, what the hell's going on? Because Brody's actually wrestling.
Oh, and he also refereed the final match when they canceled like the NWA champion coming in, so they're going to do their own world champion, and it came down like Adrian Adonis and Bob Orton.
I don't think he was the ref, but he was there doing the presentation and announced he showed like the new title and that they were going to get his old title, which was the same little thing. And he was on now on that. He was always like, he would show up here and there as like a commissioner or not a commissioner, like just, he'd always pop up in WCW, NWA, like here or there. Just, he was always around. He'd always talk about how Hogan didn't know the difference between a wristwatch and a wrist lock. And
they brought him in 89 when they were doing like the Steamboat and Flair series. He was there in New Orleans for that 2-out-of-3-fall match, and he was one of the judges at that final match they had at Wrestle War that year.
He was always here and there. I mean, up until he died, I mean, he had done Wrestling Observer like less than a year before he died. Like other guys from his era, like Ed Santel, who's the guy that Frank got fired to hurt the knee of Hackenschmidt, and Farmer Burns. I've always heard a lot about Farmer Burns, but of course I've never seen Farmer Burns. So like, I mean, we should like have Carl Stern on. He could probably tell us a little bit about some of these guys.
Actually, trained Frank Gotch.
Yeah. But I would think the one that we would know, the, like the old-timer that we probably know the most about would be Stu Hart.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, other from Jim's stretching dudes down in the dungeon, I don't know. I don't know that much more about Stu Hart. Yeah, but he is the Hart.
I've heard something about the Hart family.
I remember, was it in Wrestling with Shadows when he was down there in the dungeon and he had one
like
of those
two dudes. He seemed like two, like this black dude and this one like kind of bald dude.
Yeah, the one guy was the son of like Joe LaDuke or somebody.
Oh, it was? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he's kind of said, I'm going to show you some sub-dudes. Okay, well, man, you're going to show me some moves? You know, kind of being a smart ass. And then a minute later, he's down there and he's just fucking screaming and shit like that. He put moves on people that their eyes would turn blood red, like pop blood vessels and shit like that.
Yeah, that's the best part of it. Well, that, I mean, the whole Wrestling with Shadows documentary is awesome. But, yeah, you have this old man who basically can't even walk right anymore. I mean, he walked real slow, real funny, had his arms kind of just, you know, his body had been through a toe and all the arthritis he probably had. I mean, he looked like a crippled old man. And then he goes and he grabs this guy and puts his head here and his arm over here, and this guy's screaming like a little bitch. And he's just there like you can tell. He's like, oh, I can put a little pressure here. And then he just puts it on, and you hear the guy start really screaming. I mean, he was kind of like people say he was kind of sadistic. I mean, that he liked to fucking actually like see how much pain you could take and how much he could give you and stuff. I mean, you actually hear like horror stories from that, and then like they play the tape of the one guy screaming when Brett and them were kids, and you know he's just there. What's he saying? Show a little respect, or you know, yeah.
And they said like, they could hear it coming through like the air vents upstairs in the house.
Yeah,
I'm actually on his Wikipedia page, and just to prove that he was a tough guy. It says at one point he actually wrestled a tiger and a grizzly bear. I don't know if that was all at the same time or what, but he also played football for the Edmonton Eskimos in 1938. Excuse me. And from there, he went into the Canadian Navy. So he's a tough old bruiser. That's for
sure.
I don't
know how the hell did he wrestle a tiger? I mean,
I've
seen him wrestle the bears. I've seen him wrestling bears, and those really aren't that dangerous because they do have it muzzled up. And basically, if you're wrestling a wrestling bear, all you got to do is take a hip toss.
Well,
because
that's
all the bear's going to do. He's going to hip toss you and hip toss you and hip toss you. And but a tiger,
actually,
like wrestle a tiger.
It says on this Wikipedia page, and we know how, you know, truthful the internet is, but it says a tiger, and it also says not just bear, it says grizzly bear.
That's a pretty big bear.
Yes.
I mean,
the other
ones that I saw were just brown bears. I mean,
wasn't there a bear that Terry Funk painted white and said it's from the North Pole or something?
Sounds like something he would do. Amazing.
That's actually pretty funny.
those bear matches, they sound like, you know, they sound like something that should be amazing to see, like a scaffold match, but when you watch them, they're probably not that good.
Well, right. If there's one on the Wrestling Go DVDs where it's Terrible Ted, and he just wrestles his trainer, and like I say, all he was doing was hip tosses and snap mirrors. But he had good form when he was doing them, but that's all he was doing. I know Superstar Billy Graham was wrestling a bear, and the muzzle came off, and he hauled ass.
Yeah.
But I guess we can talk about, like, let's see, who's another legendary tough guy that's supposed to be like a ballroom brawler? And I've always heard stories about Harley Race being a really badass dude.
I can see that, but at the same time, you know, a lot of the guys that have the persona of being a legit tough guy, you know, I got to wrestle a couple of shows that Bad News Brown was on. And when I was growing up, Bad News was, I just thought that man was pure evil to break Bret Hart's trophy after winning the Battle Royal. You know, I mean,
Bret Hart broke his trophy.
Oh, my bad. But anyway, I just thought he was an evil, angry man and nicest guy I've ever met. Okay, one of the nicest guys I've ever met. Just jolly and happy and didn't hurt a fly. And actually got to...
You were that smart and never said the word to black guy.
Okay.
Because then he would have got off on you and be like, why has he got to be a black guy? And then he would have probably whooped your ass.
Yeah, he did that to Don Callis when Don Callis said something about a black girl. He said, well, I got to be a black girl. And they were doing one of those tours in Canada or something.
Okay. That makes more sense. Yeah. But anyway, getting back to my point, a lot of those guys that have the tough guy persona, usually some of the nicest guys in the world. Legit tough guys. And by the way, most professional wrestlers, they are legit tough guys. I wouldn't mess with Chris Jericho in a bar. You know, that would be like
it's
one of the last.
He'd be drunk.
Well, there's that. But I think Jericho could legit kick your butt. And I just, you know, wrestlers in general are tough guys. It's just what they do with it. Some of the guys, you know, wrestled, played football. Those are legit tough guys. So, is Harley Race a legit tough guy? I'm not sure.
Well, you're talking about
that. In a mild mannered in the ring to me, you know?
He also wrestled. Didn't look like a badass, you know? He was kind of, you know, fat, you know what I mean?
Mm hmm.
But, you know, yeah. If you listen to, like Ric Flair interviews or stuff like that, you know, they make him out to be, like, a really tough dude. And he is, like, old school, so I'm sure he knew how to, like, kind of shoot on people. But let me go back to Bad News. Like, there's a real funny story where they were on tour in Japan, and they were, like, on a bus, and they had a bunch of the guys were on there, and they had Andre was on there, and, like, Mulligan, a few other people. and Andre's talking, you know, just making jokes or kind of talking shit, and he's talking about, he's saying the N-word over and over again. So fucking bad news gets pissed off and tells the bus driver to stop the bus. And then he tells Andre, you better stop saying that or shut the fuck up or come outside and fight him. And I guess he went outside, and then Andre just sat down and didn't say anything for, I guess, like the rest of the trip.
Yeah, and Andre got his revenge when he lost his bowels on him in Mexico City. Did you ever hear that story?
Oh, yeah, they were doing, like, a six-man, and Andre, you know, where he would do that. He'd back you up into the corner and just kind of, like, throw his butt into you. And,
yeah, or either when the guy would be down on the mat and he'd hold the ropes and just, like, drop his ass on top of him. And, he went down a little too far or something. He had diarrhea all over Bad News Brown. Who hauled ass to the restroom, probably jumped right in the shower.
I'm sure both of them did.
And if you're going to get crapped on somebody, the last person that would be is Andre the Giant.
Right.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, that's fine.
Especially that, you know, he didn't just crap on him, he diarrheaed on him, dude. I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean, God, that's gross. But, like, all right, well, I keep bringing up names and you guys don't know anything about them, so I'll go, Craig, why don't you bring up a guy who you know is tough, or you think is tough?
A guy who I think is tough, I think Big Van Vader is tough.
He always put that persona he had, you know, because he'd always start off by just killing people. Yeah, he did look like he was a badass, because, I mean, he really laid it in when he was, like, on a lot of guys. So, I mean, he was big and bad, and he looked like he was super stiff. But, but we do know that he got knocked out by Paul Orndorff's bad arm.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and he also beat the crap out of him wearing flip-flops in the locker room.
And he also can't get out of a ring without falling down anymore. So. Yeah, but, he's a bad man. I mean, if you've never seen his really early stuff in AWA, you know, when he wrestled with Leon White, and, you know, the first time I saw him, obviously, was in WCW, but then that made me go back and check out, you know, some of the New Japan stuff, and, you know, he hung in there, and, you know, the stuff he did with Stan Hansen, you know, another guy that we can talk about later. I mean, those matches, they were laying it in. I don't know if they
that was the match with the impromptu unmasking of Big Van Vader. Is that the one with Hansen?
That sounds about right.
Where he fucked up his eye so bad that it was swelling, so he jerked his mask off.
He took his mask off, yeah.
And I don't think he was supposed to do that.
Well,
I think they showed that on WCW. Didn't they, like, show, like, clips of that match at least?
Yeah, because they were going to do a match at Wrestle War in 1991 that year. And they were showing clips of that match.
Yeah, I think the guy was awesome. And then a guy his size, you know, hitting a moonsault without killing a guy, that's phenomenal. And stuff he did with Cactus, I mean, aside from tearing his ear off, you know, he's just, I always loved that guy. And when I worked, I tried to take as much of his stuff as possible, to be honest. I love that guy's work.
Yeah, he was different than we've been used to the regular guys, like, say, your Bundys or one-man gangs, or just like big fat dudes that couldn't really do that much. When Vader could.
Yeah.
I mean, he could wrestle with you if you wanted to.
Right. And was it the Starcade match where he busted up Flair really bad?
Yeah, he busted his mouth open.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And I said, Flair, he would always do those sell spots. I couldn't tell if he was really hurt or not. He'd say, oh, you son of a bitch. Like that. And I said, oh, somebody fucked up for you. He's
I
a hell of a seller.
I just remember that match where Flair's punching Vader right in the face, and Vader's like, hit me again. And Flair just cracked him in the face again.
And then the stuff he did with Sean when he came over to the WWF, you know, when he did that run and they did the SummerSlam match, that's just, I love that match. That's one of my favorites.
Wait, Gorilla Monsoon. Remember
that?
Oh,
yeah, I remember that.
That was awesome. That's the first time I've ever seen Gorilla Monsoon get beat up when he wasn't a wrestler.
I saw him get beat up by Big John Studd when he tried to do the body slam challenge and he failed. And then, he was about to do it, but then that started kicking his ass.
Oh, and he got clobbered by a chair by the Brooklyn Brawler when Bobby Heenan slapped Terry Taylor in the face and the Brawler attacked him, and he attacked Gorilla also on the primetime set.
I remember that. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm actually on his page right here, and I'd forgotten that he was actually in two episodes of Boy Meets World, and he was also on an episode of Baywatch. He was on an episode of Baywatch.
Yeah, I think it was he and Flair and Kevin Sullivan showed up on the beach to confront Hulk Hogan or some shit.
Yeah. I missed the Baywatch one, but I saw the Boy Meets World one.
Is that the one with The Rock? That was that 70s show with The Rock.
That was that 70s show. Yeah. The one that Vader was on was like Fred Savage's brother, and they had that one chick, Topanga, with her big breast.
Was this right around the time that they did the Bash at the Beach? Did that coincide at all, or was it?
The Baywatch episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Baywatch episode. Yeah, because they were doing all that stuff at the... Yeah, they were filming like some Baywatch episodes or something like that. What a horrible show.
Okay. Did it revolve around the Bash at the Beach pay-per-view with Hogan and him?
I don't think it revolved around that. It revolved around somebody's, it revolved around a gym or something. I can't remember.
Okay.
It's probably so stupid. I don't remember what. All I remember was Hogan and Savage were on, wave runners or jet skis or something, and Savage, I think he turned in front of Hogan and made Hogan flip, and Hogan almost drowned, and Pamela Anderson brought him back or something.
Oh.
And he had a couple of... We got some stuff to talk over, brother.
He had those flotation devices to bring him back to shore.
Maybe he was driving the wave runner in 93 when he busted his eye before that WrestleMania. Remember that the WrestleMania that everybody thinks that Hulk Hogan got knocked out by Randy Savage the night before?
Okay.
And he had his eye on the black.
It was Big Brian Bear that said it was a wave runner that hit him.
Yeah, and everybody, some were saying, well, he and Savage got in a fight the night before at a bar or some shit like that.
Wasn't that Beefcake that ran the wave runner into him?
No, he had a parasailing accident. What we're talking about is Hogan showed up for that match with a black eye.
Yeah,
Big
yeah.
Brian Blair I'm says like, that they were just out fucking around on the beach, and then like the little rave runner kind of went and hit Hogan in the face.
And Big Brian Blair was there when the Beefcake, he had his accident, which almost killed him.
Yeah.
Then like someone's like leg, it like kicked right into his chin basically and jaw.
What happened was, I think...
that's right.
It was somebody was parasailing. They were about ready to go up, and I think when they got ready to go up, there was like a gust of wind that hit. It launched kind of like the parasailer forward, like maybe 30 miles an hour. At 30 miles an hour, that person's knees hit Beefcake right in the face.
Oh, my God.
So you can imagine.
Brutal.
He said he tried to open his mouth. He said... He opened his mouth was open, but his teeth were closed. He tried to try to stop him, but he didn't want him to swallow his tongue or anything. And yeah, he almost died from that. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Anyway.
I remember when he came back on Primetime Wrestling and Bobby Heenan was putting refrigerator magnets on his face. So it was a real injury, and he had steel plates in his face.
Oh, man, that was so funny. That would be, like, so wrong today, but, you know, back then, no one even fights about anything about it. All right, Patrick, I'll let you bring up the name then.
I'll bring up the one that whenever you talk about tough guys, the first guy that comes to mind to me, and may you guys also, is Dr. Death Steve Williams.
Oh, Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well, remember when you wrestle a match in the afternoon, it'd take, like, what, 300 or something stitches? And then
he wrestled Brad Armstrong, I think, at a TV tape in Shreveport, and took an elbow to the, like, the eyebrow, and he had to get it, like, I remember it was in a big article in Pro Wrestling Illustrated, stitched me up, Doc, I got a match tonight, and gave him 108 stitches in his eyebrow or something, and then he had to go back and wrestle the Rock and Roll Express later that night, and I think even before that, didn't he have some kind of an injury, like in amateur wrestling, where he had to wear a goalie's mask is where he got the Dr. Death name from?
I don't know, actually. I'm not sure on that one.
I do remember that story. It was in PWI, so who knows if it's true or not. But.
It says Williams had a ready-made nickname, which dated back to an incident in junior high where he had to wrestle in a hockey's goalie's mask. And was jokingly labeled Dr. Death by one of the school coaches.
Yeah.
Junior high.
It's crazy. Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool story.
I mean,
he's one of those guys. I mean, he was just like, so. Remember when he fucking was press standing Terry Gordy over his head in that War Games match?
Yeah.
I mean, that was like one of the sickest things I've ever seen, dude. I mean, geez. He was strong. He was pretty good move. For a long time, he was, you know, even though he was older, he could still move for a long time. And he's just one of those guys that projected that he was a bad dude. I saw that that Jimmy Garvin homemade video thing that he made. That you've seen it, Couture, right?
Yeah, the Great American Bash thing.
Yeah, Great American Bash. Jimmy Garvin's running around filming everybody backstage, and he comes to, like, Sting and Dr. Death. And if you watch this video, you're going to come to the same conclusion that I did, and that is that Dr. Death had just come back in the dressing room after snorting a whole 8-ball all at one time. And I would have been horrified if I would have been in his presence about him just going crazy and killing me. I mean, that dude was so wired and just so. You know, I mean, you saw Couture.
Yeah, I saw it. He was Dr. Death. He was one of those guys that he was made to wrestle in Japan.
Yeah,
he had the skill, and he could take the punch. I mean, I think it was a match with Kobashi where he kept dropping it on his head.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those side suplexes or dropping bombs or something.
Yeah.
My God. And that mat in Japan, that is not a soft mat like it would be over in the United States.
No.
That's like, I mean, it looks like it's almost concrete. And no wonder more people hadn't ended up like Masawa dying in the ring or something like that. When some of the moves that they've taken, landing on their head and neck all the time.
Why have we never asked Lance Storm about wrestling Dr. Death?
Did you wrestle Dr. Death?
Yeah.
Did he?
It was after he came back from All Japan in 2002. He wrestled a couple matches in 2003 against Lance Storm.
Hmm.
And was involved in the independent promotion MLW at the time as well. I forgot about this, but he actually had a couple of quick dates for ECW. He went out there and just killed Axel Rotten and then had an impromptu match with Raven. After that, and
also they brought Terry Gordy in, and they did the Terry Gordy against Eliminator.
Exactly.
A horrible match.
Yeah, I remember that. That wasn't very good.
Yeah, Terry Gordy at that time, that was sad.
He had a great match with Bigelow at the time, but other than that, his run in ECW was not very good.
And he defeated Dave the Observer Meltzer in the UWF one time.
Right? Didn't he show the newsletter in David's mouth, too?
Yeah. I love those Herbert stories and those old
You know
servers.
Who almost got, who, oh, that almost happened to? They almost did that to Mike Sawyer.
Right? Oh, yeah, that's right, because he called in when Dr. Death died. He called in the show, and he was telling us about it.
Yeah. Because he used to communicate with Aaron and stuff, and it was almost him that got, destroyed. But going back to Dr. Death, one thing that really kind of hurt him, his reputation in the end kind of hurt him because they put him in that one, was it, I don't even know if it was Pride or what it was, but he, you know, he's already old, fighting some, you know, a guy who fights for a living, and, you know, he ended up getting pretty much destroyed, you know, and then you know, the Brawl for All, you know, they made the thing for him supposedly to win it, but during, like, the first fight where he was actually doing pretty good at first or doing okay, and then he fucking, he blew out his knee and couldn't move, and then that's when Bart just, like, just destroyed him. I mean, just killed him. And
they were going to use that to launch, you know, for him to go into the program with Steve Austin. That's what I think the plan was.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been Steve Williams.
I don't know how that
would have
gone down with Steve Austin's neck condition. I don't know. Dr. Death would have to adjust his style or something like that.
He wouldn't have been able to use his backdrop driver for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I remember the story. This was, I think, maybe 85 when he and Rick Steiner were traveling together. They came across this car that was on fire. Have you ever heard the story?
No.
And it was I think it was a truck or a car or something from like a National Guard or some armory that was around there. And I think it was in Louisiana or something. And it had like ammo and stuff in the car. And the car had wrecked and caught on fire. And they were like, they were getting those guys out. They had to like rip the doors off the cars to get the guys out.
Wow.
They got a couple of the guys out and the ammo was going off from the fire. And one guy back there, they tried to get him out, but they looked at him and his jaw was all the way up in his head. So he was dead.
Wow.
I think Bill White fined him for being babyface in a heel riding together.
Oh, jeez.
I could see him doing some shit like that. Was, you know, they try to save somebody and then they get in trouble for that. But, yeah, he was a tough guy.
He didn't look like, you talk about him pressing Terry Gordy. Like, in his arms, he didn't look like he was powerful, but he was really powerful in his upper body and stuff. His arms were kind of thin, but I think it was just, like, in his upper body and stuff. He had so much muscle. Just probably one of the strongest men that's ever been in wrestling.
He just had, like, really good ligament strength.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll never ever forget the visual of him press landing fucking Terry Gordy of all people.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead, Craig.
Pick another one, huh? I think it's your turn, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
I think the first three.
A real tough guy. You know what? I don't know why, but Brian Pillman just spoke to me as a real tough guy.
He made Sid go get a weapon to face him.
Hey, squeegee, nonetheless. You know what
well,
I mean?
He was a professional football player, and he was an undersized professional football player for his position at that, so he really got to be tough. I mean, he actually was a lot smaller as a wrestler than he was a football player. But, what exactly is the whole story with the squeegee? Why don't we go ahead and tell that?
I think this was, they were in a bar, and I think it was Pillman and Mike Graham were in a bar, and then Sid Vicious, something was going on, and Mike Graham and Sid Vicious were getting into it. I don't remember over what, and then Brian Pillman, you know, he stood up to Sid, and you know, looked like there was going to be a fight, and Sid said, well, wait here, and he left, and he came back in, and said, he has a squeegee in his hand, he said, okay, let's fight.
Yeah.
And that's all I remember of it.
I've told the story about Brent Kremen and the squeegee, haven't I?
I believe so, but tell it again.
Okay, it's good. Going way back, the first time I ever saw Brent Kremen, he was at a Tacoma Dome house show, and he threw a cup of ice at Sid Vicious after he had gotten into a verbal confrontation with him on why he stabbed Marty Lundy. And so,
Marty Lundy.
Yeah. So he was escorted from the building. And then fast forward like a year, I had met Brian Alvarez, and and another guy, and they were going to Canada to see the International Incident pay-per-view. And he said, it'll be cool, I'll meet you up there. And I was introduced once again to Brent Kremen, and I recognized him, but I couldn't place the face. And then Brian later told me, yeah, this kid got thrown out of a show at the Tacoma Dome after he threw some ice at Sid Vicious. And I said, oh my gosh, I know who that guy is. Anyway, somewhere along the road from Canada was the pay-per-view. Seattle, they did four nights taping for Monday Night Raw, or 4 hours of tapings for Monday Night Raw, because they did a whole month's worth of TV. And then they went from Seattle to over to Yakima, which is another 2.5 hours. And somewhere along the lines, they had convinced Brent to make up with Sid, and they stopped at a gas station, and I don't know how, but they put the jaws of life on Brent's wallet and got it open and were able to get a squeegee into the building. And Sid saw him, and he was waving the squeegee back and forth. And if you actually go back on the Superstars tapings and see Sid at that time, there is actually a shadow of the squeegee being shooken back and forth as Sid is looking down and smiling. So they had a special moment, and all was forgiven. And one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my
life. Nobody held up, instead of if you didn't have squeegee, you could always take some scissors or something.
Right, yeah, you could have got some scissors and attached it to the squeegee.
You stabbed Maury Lund.
That's right, with scissors.
I blame Dave Meltzer for helping bring Kremen talks with the real names and observers and stuff.
Yeah, it's all his fault. Anyway,
what the hell is it with Sid and fucking weapons, man?
Well,
I don't know.
The dude don't know how to have a fair fight, man. He's got to fucking get squeegees and try to murder people with scissors and shit. And then he's like three times bigger than the two guys he was fighting with the weapons with.
Well, obviously Sid's not a tough guy. He played a little softball and do a little wrestling and then break your leg when you're jumping off the top rope. But that's another story.
Real quick, just another Dr. Death story real quick. I was they had an incident with him and Hawk in the dressing room, I think back in 1989, because they were doing a program with the Road Warriors and the Varsity Club. And Dr. Death, you know, the Road Warriors, they were the ones that go out there. They throw everybody around, pick them up, press slam them. So the first thing Dr. Death does in the match is picks Hawk up and press slams him over his head like 4 or 5 times, which never happened to the Road Warriors back then. And so I think there was a big thing about that, and they almost got into it in a dressing room. I know, I probably put my money on Doc more than Hawk. That's just me.
Right. Anyway, getting back to Pillman, I saw him as a – you know, you have that buddy who, you know, you'd go to a party or a drinking establishment and you just would hope that nobody would bump him or, you know, accidentally back into him because they would just lose his mind and
somebody
just
goes
have
out
to fight.
For an excuse to fight.
Exactly. That's kind of the way I viewed Pillman. just looking for a fight at all times. And the match that he had with Kevin Sullivan, they're just beating the crap out of each other in that strap match. And then, of course, he trusted him, Booker Man, or he respected him, Booker Man. And then the whole ECW run, where he tried to stab a kid with a fork?
With a pencil or something.
The mark that was, you know, a plant. Is that whole ECW run where he was just out of his mind. I absolutely loved that. And I bought everything he did because it looked so legit.
And he was crazy, too, when out there called the gangsters the N-word on the microphone.
Yeah. Yeah, New Jack. If you can believe that.
And yeah, New Jack. But and New Jack's another guy who's supposedly a tough guy, but then again, he wants to fight a guy in a wheelchair, or he wants to fight an old man, you know, an old a junkyard dog.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I still wouldn't fuck with New Jack because he'd probably take out a gun and shoot somebody, you know.
Yeah. By the way, if you don't have enough drama in your life, friend New Jack on Facebook, because it's amazing. It's legit him, and he's got this thing going with Balls Mahoney right now. I don't know what happened the last time they were together, but he accused Balls of taking some poor guy in a wheelchair's girlfriend and effing her and this and that. He's, good Lord, that guy. It's so entertaining because he just throws everything out. He doesn't hold anything back.
I was watching, somebody had up something when Jim Cornette did one of those U-shoots or something, and did some like a trailer for it the other day, and somebody knocks on the door, and then comes New Jack singing, "Why Can't We Be Friends?" It's like the first time they've seen each other since like Smoky Mountain, when they just left without any notice, and you know they badmouthed them back and forth and stuff like that. So it was pretty fun.
Anyway,
I'm sure it was much better than that Vince Russo shit fest the other week.
That's one of the things, Judgment Call, I didn't watch it, and I think I'm better for it.
You had to listen to whoever the guy putting it together, bitching about Dave and Brian, I sent a fucking question in. Fucking baby.
Yeah, but then they asked how big Batista's dick is.
Yeah, I'm Dave Meltzer. I want to send in a question that's sandwiched in between a game called The Hoe Bag and Sinbad asking how big Batista's dick is.
No chance.
Is that like a gimmick on every fucking you shoot that they fucking ask him that question about how big Batista's dick is?
Yeah, this has gone on for I don't know how many. How many of those you shoots? I don't know.
I heard the thing was horrible, though.
Didn't say
anything hardly. All right, Katrina, we'll get back on track and you can pick somebody.
Yeah.
I'll pick somebody. I don't know if they were legitimately tough or this was like chemical enhancement tough, but I'll go with Dynamite Kid.
That's who?
Dynamite Kid.
Well, he was a pretty sadistic motherfucker if you've read his book.
I don't know if it was that or if it was the drugs or if he was just net, if like he was really a tough person.
Yeah.
It's probably a combination of all. He was a crazy dude. I mean, he's a dude who legitimately didn't give a fuck. You know what I mean?
Buddy Wayne told me that he was on the road with Dynamite, you know, early in Dynamite's career. And he watched Dynamite every night for two solid weeks. He would take a backdrop in the middle of the ring and land outside on the floor. He would do that spot every night. No wonder he's in a wheelchair right now.
Yeah.
He was a crazy dude. I mean, and then, I watched this, video, this VHS video collection. It's like the best of Tiger Mask.
Mm-hmm.
Basically it has about eight different matches between Tiger Mask, the original Tiger Mask, and the Dynamite Kid. And each freaking match, he's about 10 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
I shit you not. He goes from being a stick figure. I mean, he was a total stick figure to being fucking the British Bulldog you saw in WWF, basically, almost.
Yeah, I see some of those matches, like his real early stuff in, like, Calgary. I mean, you talk about thin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just a small dude and just, like, no muscle on him whatsoever. Like, when he first started. Then you see him when he gets to, like, beat the British Bulldog or, you know, like, in Japan or something. It's like something fixing to explode on this guy. He's got so he's so gassed up.
Yeah.
And plus he's a mean bastard, which is worse.
Yeah, he used to terrorize people. I mean, like, the whole incident with, Jockey. I mean, you can't blame him for jacking him the way he did and whether if he had a weapon or not. That, you know, I mean, you know, like, you can't really blame the dude, you know.
I had a lot of respect for Jacques Rougeau after I read what he did to Dynamite Kid. We sucker punched him with some coins and knocked his teeth out.
I got to see. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, like, I remember, like, when that incident happened, they took him into, like, Vince's office, and Hogan was there, and he just saw all the blood coming down, and he's like, "I'm out of here, brother." he just takes off.
They had some incredible matches. Had them being the British Bulldogs with, you know, the Hart Foundation. I mean, they took that show around the loop, you know, and they stopped in Tacoma, and there was double juice cage match on a house show. And, man, that was an amazing, amazing match. I remember that match, you know, just like I would have watched it just the other day. I mean, I was so into watching that match, and they had some awesome matches with those guys. And then the WrestleMania match with Valentine and Beefcake, that's, I don't know why, going back and watching it now, I probably wouldn't think it was all that great, but man, it was great when I watched it years ago.
Ozzy Osbourne was there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Probably has. I just remember when he's in that final spot, you know, where he leans his head on the turnbuckle and David Boy, like, rams Valentine's head into Dynamite's head. You never see the spot, but you just hear him smack the concrete, like, right afterwards from when he fell off the ring apron.
Yeah.
And I think he busted him open because they never got a shot of him after that.
Yeah, that dude was out of his mind. He was an awesome, awesome wrestler, man. Yeah.
Yeah, he was awesome, but he was crazy.
Yeah, it's, you know, it scares me because, you know, Davey Richards looks up to him so much and works so similar to him. It's frightening. I hope Davey Richards pulls out better than my kid.
Isn't he supposed to be retiring?
Supposedly next year. That's what he says.
Yeah, but he said that before.
Yeah. Of course, that's
he
when
must he must have a new girlfriend that doesn't want him to wrestle anymore like last time, and he'll break up with her before the deadline, and he'll keep on wrestling.
Anyway.
He was going to get married. His wife asked him to stop and become a firefighter, and now the girlfriend's not around, and he's not a firefighter. So there you go.
But I'll go ahead and name one, and I was giving you guys a chance because this is probably one of the most famous wrestling tough guys ever, and that is the fucking go with Haku.
Yep. I knew it was going to get brought up.
You hear stories all the time. I mean, you hear the story. I don't think I've ever actually seen anything, but, I mean, you hear about it all the time. Did he really pull Jimmy J. Funk's eye out? I find that hard to believe. Might have
pulled
him in the eye.
With his big toe?
Is that why he wore the Lone Ranger mask? He had missing an eye?
The story is like he kicked off his punk gloves and then he just kicked his ass and fucked him up with his fucking. Supposedly the story is he fucked him up with his fucking big toe and that's what fucked up his eye. Kicked him with his toe.
Yeah.
I'd love to go back in time like to the mid-80s at one of those bars that WWF guys would go to after a show just to see what went down.
Yeah,
people were acting. Probably all.
But the thing with Haku is he was one of those guys like Dr. Death where he didn't look like he was like super strong, but he really was. I mean, he body slammed Big John Studd, you know. And he had like a little martial arts training, and he also had sumo training. He actually did sumo, so I mean, you know, he had a good sense of balance, and then. He's just one of those guys you watch wrestle and you kind of would think that, yeah, this is one really bad dude. And you hear all the stories about him just beating the shit out of, like, you know, so he would take on groups of people and kick all their asses, you know. And then he took that wooden chair for Dusty Rhodes and kept on coming.
That's right. His son's in WWF now, right? Is he the one driving the bicycle?
Yeah, it's the one
driving
the
bicycle.
Yeah.
Oh, get this. It says on his Wikipedia page, he currently works as a car spa manager at Davis Moss Toyota in Sanford, Florida.
Well, if he told me to buy a car, I'd probably have to buy
that
car.
I remember the last time I saw him, I think it might have been on one of those Hogan, those best shows where they had a pool party with all the old retired wrestlers, like
he broke all over right in front of everybody. That was awesome.
He Greg Valentine, the Nasty Boy, they were splashing water on Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He got pissed off. Greg Valentine was pissed in the bushes. I can't remember who else was there. But, Brooke and Linda came home, and they were, like, mortified to see all these wrestlers in their pool.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And real quick, speaking of the Nasty Boys, wasn't it not long ago New Jack, like, beat the shit out of Brian Knobs?
Yeah. No, it was Sags, wasn't it?
I thought it was Brian
Knobs. Very Sags.
It was
I think he was at an independent show and came back to show everybody
Knobs.
Didn't know how to work
Knobs,
and shit like that.
I think it was Jerry Sags.
I don't think
it
Jerry
sounds
Sags
like something Knobs, but Knobs is just a big blowhard anyway. It sounds like something he would do. So.
Yeah.
And him of all people talking about it, people don't know how to work and stuff. I mean,
New Jack, he didn't know how to work either, I think.
He probably took it to heart.
New Jack's a very scary man.
I
noticed that.
Yeah, and he likes little white girls that used to date Goldust.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Are they, like, back together or something?
They were. They had
pictures of... She was giving him a blowjob while she gigged her head or something.
Okay. Like I said, you need to friend New Jack on Facebook because you could have saw that whole thing, that breakup play out, including
I saw it on her end.
Oh, my gosh. You should have seen it on his end. Oh, Lord. Anyway. Who are we talking about again? Oh, yeah, Haku. Yeah, awesome. I thought it was awesome when he came back to the WWF, like, totally unannounced and just picked him up from Nitro like the week before.
He was the hardcore champion.
Yeah.
He was the
hardcore champion.
I was at that Royal Rumble when he came back. He was one of the guys in the Royal Rumble, and they started playing his jungle music. I looked back there, and first thing I saw was, because you know he was doing with the big hair back then?
Yeah.
Pro. And I said, that's Haku. I said, huh. It was like a week before he was like, he was a WCW hardcore champion with no contract. That was dumb. And those guys, they're pretty tough anyway. I wouldn't mess with those people anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a tough dude.
Yeah, and some stuff like Eric Bischoff wanted him to go fight in the UFC to prove that they were tougher. And he was like, what, are you fucking crazy? But go ahead, Kachar.
Okay, I'll go with a tag team of I'll go with the Steiner Brothers.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
I just remember, I don't know if they were really that tough or they were just assholes.
Probably both.
I mean, Rick Steiner, I've always talked about Rick Steiner is one of my favorite performers of all time. I love watching him work. He just beats the shit out of people.
Remember he had that 3-week period where he kicked the shit out of LaRue and then Conan, and then he might have done it to somebody else too.
Yeah, when the company was shutting down, and he just went out and shot on like Conan and Lash LaRue, and I don't know what his deal was, but before that, I mean, more so like in the late 80s, early 90s. I love watching him wrestle. He'd go out there with those squash in the squash matches, and he would just beat the living shit out of people. It was fun to watch.
Yeah. And then Scott would throw everyone around, too, and then he became like the steroid freak that he is, and then
Scott became scary, you know, with the big level pump thing.
He's still horrifying, dude. If Scott Savage was yelling at me, dude, I would run so fast, dude.
Yeah, people that... Have you seen him on Twitter getting all over Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff and shit like that? He's flipped out.
Well, he's always been a little crazy ever since he became Big Papa.
I mean, there was a story, you know, where he was going to go out there and do that shoot promo on DDP, and somebody saw him. He was trimming his fingernails down to where they'd be sharp. But the eyes, if he had to.
Yeah.
And everybody looked at DDP, and after he said something about his wife, and DDP, instead of, he was going to look like a pussy if he didn't do something about it, but he was probably in that, DDP probably felt, I'm fixing to go get my ass kicked, but it's something I got to go do because he just insulted my wife. So, one of those
and,
things.
I mean, yeah, but as short as that fight was, he did take a little bit of a pounding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Talk about a group of guys that, or a duo of guys that were made for Japanese wrestling. Steiner Brothers were just awesome.
Yeah, I love watching their match they had with Hase and Sasaki, that first WCW Super Show.
Yeah. And then Scott gets a little crazy in their match.
And then was that the Collision in Korea pay-per-view? Is that
no.
the one I'm thinking of?
No, this was the one in 1991. You know that first WCW Super Show with Flair and Fujinami on top?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. The Starcade.
That whole show
led to the Starcade.
And then they came
back
the next year, and they had a hell of a match. It was also a match. It was the Steiners against Sting and the Great Muta.
Okay. But they did have that match at Collision in Korea, though, too, right?
Yeah, they had that match also at that one.
Okay. I thought I was losing my mind for a minute.
And then they had the other match where they had, it was Fujinami and I forgot who Fujinami's partner was. But they
Iizuka.
Fujinami's partner. Yeah, Iizuka.
Yeah, they did that spot. They did a spot where I think Scott picked the guy up over his shoulders. Kind of like, looked like an over-the-shoulder backbreaker. And Rick came from the top and like just dropped an elbow. He just landed on the poor dude's eye and it cracks his orbital socket, the dude's eye.
Oh, dude.
And I think Arn Anderson attributes his neck injury to too many matches with the Steiners, too many Steiner lines.
Am I out of my mind, or did they do a lot of stuff with Smoky Mountain? I can't.
They came in there when they were doing stuff with the WWF and Smoky Mountain, you know, when Cornette went over and the Heavenly Buddies, like, wrestled at SummerSlam. And then they did some stuff with Cornette and Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Okay. Contrary to the Walking Wrestling Dictionary.
Yeah, other than tough, I'd say Steiners, I'd put them in, like, my top 10 of greatest tag teams of all time.
Absolutely.
They had with Doc and Gordy in
mm-hmm.
92. They had some great
mm-hmm.
matches there.
Yeah, it was actually almost a shock when they beat the Steiners.
Yeah, because Steiners were kind of like they were kind of like a new version of the Road Warriors, you know, just these guys that nobody could beat or something like that, and they beat them clean.
Twice.
Yeah. Also had some great matches with Doom. They just beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah. Now, speaking of Doom, I never really heard like a whole lot of, like about like Ron Simmons getting into any fights or anything, but I do remember seeing Arn Anderson's shoot interview where he was talking about how the Steiners would fuck with everybody, but they didn't fuck with Ron Simmons. And he asked him one time, and he just gave him a look, and like he like kind of just basically kind of told him, yeah, they know better.
I saw that he asked. Ron, why don't they do that kind of stuff to you? And Ron just kind of raised his eyebrows and looked at him.
Yeah.
And Arn said, okay, that's why. He was like a black Steiner brother. You know, I mean, he was just as far as the hard-hitting moves and everything. I mean, those spine busters, it's just, as great as Arn Anderson was, Ron Simmons would throw out one of those spine busters just like it killed a guy.
He had a bad accident.
With Doom were so good because they could all take what each other could dish out.
Yeah.
Had no trouble, going out there and just beating the crap out of one another.
I think one of my favorite things I ever saw Rick Steiner ever involved with is when he was trying to date woman on, it was WCW Saturday Night, and then he goes to pick her up for a date or whatever, and she's in this room, and she's got, this dominatrix outfit on, and just pulls him in, and the door slams behind him.
That was the one where Jim Ross giving him the pep talk. He's a football player about to go into the big game.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
He says, you got this date set up? You got everything going okay? He said, yeah, I got 10 hours of Wally and the Beeb we're going to watch.
Yeah.
Okay. He said, what were you doing for food? And I said, order pizza. Just pizza. He said, well, I got a Supreme. I went all out for this one. I got a Supreme pizza. And so they go to the... And before this, Robin Green had, she'd been dressed like she was like a nerd, in the audience.
And, tape on the glasses the whole night.
Yeah. And they knock on the door, and she opens it, and get this shot over in this outfit, and Jim Ross has got his mouth sticking open, and Rick Steiner does also, and he says, Robin, and she points the finger and says, come here, and close the door, and Jim Ross just mouths, wow. I love Rick Steiner so much during that time because he was doing that goofball gimmick, but he was believable in that he could beat up anybody he wanted to. He wasn't like some of these guys, like Eugene or somebody like that.
Yeah, only Rick Steiner could get away with talking to his hand and shit.
Yeah, that shit was awesome. He had a pet fly spike that he kept in a jar. And he had his hand, best friend Alex he talked to. I remember when they did the, woman and Rick Steiner, they went to the zoo. And they went to the zoo together. And then they went and got some ice cream, and Robin's woman's, her ice cream fell off her cone, so she took Rick's.
It was
very funny. Badass.
Tremendous.
I think in the background of that first date they're playing Goodness Gracious Great Balls of Fire in the background.
That's right. Oh, man.
I gotta look for that clip, and I gotta cue that up for next week. I'll play that next week.
They just don't do stuff like that anymore, and it's too bad because it's stuff that's burned into our memories.
And if they do stuff like that, it's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing over the last, year has done anything that I'll remember. I'm not going to remember anything.
The only thing funny that I enjoy watching really nowadays is I like to watch that Are You Serious show on WWE.com or YouTube. Where they clown on all the old clips with Road Dogg and Josh Matthews.
Okay.
And they got the Muppet version, Triple H, coming in there and doing shit.
I haven't seen it in a few weeks, but the one that really made me laugh was the fucking Ricky Steamboat Jay Youngblood training video.
That was funny.
What the fuck were they doing with his legs, dude?
I don't know. He said he hates those shoes. That's what the Road Dogg said. He got hit in the shoes. That shit was funny as hell.
I have to remember that. Interesting.
Yeah. They got about 18 episodes on YouTube. You should go check them out. They're pretty awesome.
I'll do that.
Let's see. How much time do we have?
About 15.
I'll throw out the plug real quick. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows like the Angry Marks show and just a whole lot of other stuff. So everyone check out AngryMarks.com. And... I guess we could talk about the guys who have actually been in real fights. And there's actually been about four of them in the WWE. They had Dan Severn, who was the UFC champion. They had Ken Shamrock, who was the UFC champion. They had, you know, they got Brock right now, who's a former world champion.
Kurt Angle, maybe?
Kurt Angle was the gold medalist. I mean, that's, you know, something. You know, he's, you know, Kurt Angle was yelling at me, I'd run too, you know. And then, like, I don't know how, like, what his real credentials are, but we all remember the, what was, Steve Blackman.
Yeah.
And stuff. But, I mean, you know, I mean, and Shamrock, I thought Shamrock was pretty
was
damn good when he was wrestling. I mean, I thought he took to it real quick. And
Severn, born as hell, but
yeah, he was kind of born as hell. I'll never forget the thing we're talking about with Bart Gunn and Dr. Death, where it was Dan Severn against Mark Merrill, who was the boxer, and Severn just kept taking him down. I mean, he took him down like 100 times in the thing, and then, like, I guess they realized that, oh shit, he's gonna do that to everybody. So they kind of, that was like somehow he was eliminated from the. They took him out.
They did a thing where. He said he wanted to fight guys when his hands were not bound, where he didn't have to wear gloves. So that's why he pulled out. Mm-hmm. I just remember that promo on Raw. He said that right before one of the matches.
Hmm. You ever see that match in FMW with him and Goto?
Yeah.
Tarzan Goto, they just killed each other with chairs the whole match. It was not a good match, but it was absolutely brutal.
It was crazy, especially for Dan Severn.
Yeah. Yeah, like the craziest thing I've ever seen Severn in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Shamrock, he's a very good professional wrestler, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, great matches with The Rock.
Which he started in professional wrestling.
Yeah, that is
true. You
know,
he was Vince Torelli, I think. Isn't that where Vinny got his name from?
Yeah. Yeah, Vince Torelli.
Yep. I don't know why you guys think any after a shoot fighter.
Nasty Boys beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, that's 2-on-1, though. And then they booked like a lamp over his head, too.
Yeah.
Well,
but, you
know. Well, his head was in the way when they threw the lamp.
And then, like, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, we're talking about tough guys. And we've been talking a lot about, you know, guys that can do the beating. And not all, but most. There's a lot of dudes in wrestling that could take a really good beating. And I don't think this guy would ever get mentioned as a tough guy. But Mikey Whipwreck, for like 5 straight years, got the crap beat out of him at least twice a weekend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, he got brutalized. And you could, you know, throw in whomever, but Mikey, for whatever reason, kept coming back for more, and he's paying for it today, but I think Mikey could hold his own in a legit fight.
Yeah, he was wrestling in a place where it didn't look like that your opponents took care of you very much.
No, and Lance even said that on the show the other night.
Yeah, well, I mean, he could take an ass kicking for a long time. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that he whipped some ass, but, you know, he did take some ass kicking. What's real funny, though, is like, well, not this doesn't really stand today, but in the 80s and 70s, when the territories were around, the territories always had, like, one guy who was, like, the local badass dude. And more times than not, this guy was just a jobber on the local TV, just went and got his ass kicked, made everyone look good. And so basically when they'd be, you know, training and stuff, you'd get like these, you know, football players or bodybuilders, whoever, they want to become a pro wrestler. And they'd kind of like give them the option about who they want to like kind of roll with. And, of course, they're going to pick the guy they see gets the ass kicked all the time. And then that guy would just beat the living shit out of these guys. And just send them on their way. You know, they break their arms or just fuck them up really bad. I mean, this is going to sound hilarious, but one guy who used to do that, Dennis Stamp. You know? you know, if you watch Beyond the Mat,
only when he was booked,
that Dennis Stamp was that badass to do, but Dennis Stamp was actually, you know, a shooter. He was the policeman. They called him the policeman of the different territories, and you know, they're usually like the most, not, you know, like I said, they're like either jobbers or not, you know, famous guys, but they were the guys who just, you know, were the legit baddest dudes in the company.
Well, didn't he start out on the carny circuit, the carnival circuit,
yeah,
where he would actually, you know, actually beat guys, you know, and I think Regal is probably one of the toughest men still wrestling today. I mean, you got him and you got, help me out here, guys.
Finley.
I totally lost it. Yeah.
Finley,
thank you. You know, those guys are legit tough guys and could probably match anyone hold for hold.
And they don't seem like they age either.
Right?
I mean, they don't seem any different from, like, when they go into the ring, like, now than they did, 10 years ago.
Well, Regal's a little heavier, but that's just about it, you know. Finley probably was in better shape than he even did then.
Finley's a freak of nature. He can just go. He could just keep going and going.
And the thing is, he has like a brace in the back of his leg and his boots.
Something like that. I heard he had no feeling in like one of his legs or something from going through a tail.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure one of his boots, I think it's his left, I think it's his left calf that was hurt. And his boots got more stability in the one so as not to get punctured or anything. Because if he ever like got, you know, let's say stabbed, he wouldn't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, so his one boot is more reinforced than the other, if that makes any sense. And he had a heck of a match with Roderick on the last pay-per-view, by the way. Man, that was a great match.
How hard was Roddy hitting them?
Chopped the crap out of each other.
I bet.
Yeah, it was awesome. Anyway.
He was a tough guy. Like, him and Ray were tough guys. They didn't do, like, really dangerous stuff either. They just,
no.
You know, they just did like a straightforward, you know, just hit hard in safe places kind of style.
Yeah, that's what he said like on Wrestling Observer Live. He just, you know, he hits the guy as hard as he can and he just does it in a safe place.
Yep. I think they just had taped, I guess it's just maybe last night from the last FCW show, Dean Ambrose against William Regal for the last show. So anybody should check that out if they get a chance.
Ted McNaylor was going crazy on his Facebook page about that match, so be something to check out.
Cool.
Yeah.
So anybody else you want to bring up before we go? We got like 8 minutes.
Real quick, I'll throw out Terry Funk. He just wrestled for too long. He was like 60 years old or whatever age he was when he started doing moonsaults. That's craziness. That's being, I don't know, that's being crazy and tough.
You know, he used to say he was middle aged and crazy. Now he's old age and still crazy.
That's right. Yeah. my favorite thing I've ever seen, I think it was on the Unreal Story of Professional Wrestling when they had the interview with Funk. It was one of the docs. I can't remember exactly which one it is. They're interviewing him on this ranch, and he's talking about, well, it's just, you know, I just love this sport and blah, 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 you know, and he's, you know, I shouldn't be walking on these knees. I shouldn't be walking at all. And, you know, they show Terry, you know, walking off into the sunset, and, like, he, like, rolls his ankle.
And
yeah,
he's beyond the mat.
Yeah. Okay. So
he was talking to Dennis Stamp, and he's trying to convince him to come, and he just takes off. He just almost busted his ass.
Yeah.
Like the most awesome part of the whole movie.
Yeah. He's just walking and he rolls his ankle and he's like, arr, 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 and he gets his balance back and he just keeps walking. You know, cripples a normal man.
I love on Cactus's first book where he's talking about when they were doing that deathmatch tournament and they took him and Terry and Leatherface and maybe someone else and they were kind of showing them. The explosives going off, and Kirshner, Leatherface, and Foley are just horrified. They're like, "What the fuck?" And they're just so in shock they don't say anything. And then Terry starts to speak up, and they're like, oh, thank God, Terry's going to say something and tell him we can't do that and bullshit.
Yeah.
And then Terry's like, well, it needs to be a little, you know, more C4 so it'll be a bigger explosion.
Yeah.
So.
No, I always say that, like to me, in my opinion, I think the greatest wrestler of all time is Ric Flair. And Terry Funk's right up there with him, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The top two, in my opinion.
Yeah, and, you know, you would tell him that to your face, and he would just scream at you, your mother's a whore.
I like when he calls Bischoff's mother a whore. Mother was a whore when he was fighting Cactus Jack in ECW, and he couldn't say nothing to – he called Jack's wife a whore, and he didn't do nothing.
Right.
But, by God, he called Eric Bischoff's mother a whore, and Jack got all pissed off. Can't talk about Eric Bischoff like that. I love WCW.
Oh, and then like his, and then the Satchel ass promo that actually very few people actually saw, but everyone heard the, you know, the drops from it. But I saw it, and I laughed my ass. But
new
yeah, season
of WCW didn't produce anything good. Produce the Satchel ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that the one shotgun Saturday night when him and Steve Austin got into it, and that's such a phenomenal, you know, you could have been there, Ed, but oh man, that's the back and forth between those two, just so great. Terry Funk,
you know, Vince the Yankee bastard and JR and Oklahoma asshole or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And somebody ended up in the horse trough at the end of the whole thing. I can't remember who it was, but yeah.
It was Terry.
I just love watching because you never know what he's going to do, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's nuts.
The only man I ever saw thrown off of the Raw stage in a dumpster.
Well, yeah, Company Cactus was in there.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, another tough guy right there we didn't mention.
Yeah, we should probably mention him since we got 4 minutes.
I just say go watch the Hell in the Cell. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. Yeah, if you haven't heard of the guy, do some research. He was pretty tough.
For everything you said about Mickey Whitbreak, you got to multiply that by 20 with Cactus.
Yeah. That's true. The King of the Death match between him and Funk. You know, I don't know why, but I, you know, watched the whole thing, and I was like, how in the world? And then, are they going to top this? And then they show the finale, you know, with him and Funk at the end of it. It's just ridiculous. I've never seen that much blood on two men. And
have you seen the whole match?
Like watching one match like that, much less a tournament with all those matches in there.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I just remember like he kind of like falls off the ladder onto the barbed wire, and you can just kind of see his hair and kind of it looks thick. And then there's one part where the barbed wire catches his arm, and you see the arm stretch out.
Yeah.
Oh man, sick.
And then there was the Born to Be Wired match with Funk and Sabu, where Sabu just his bicep nearly comes out of his skin.
He calls for, then he called for like glue and duct tape or something like that.
Yeah, I need glue and duct tape ASAP. Anyway.
And yeah, they had to go home early because they got all tangled up in the barbed wire.
Yeah, they couldn't physically move. They had to go get
And then they
cutters.
Couldn't get them out of it. They had to go get guys with like the barbed wire cutters, come in there with the gloves on and stuff like that. Crazy.
That was ridiculous. It was like one of the only times if you actually get that commercial tape, VHS, you actually see Sabu break kayfabe and talk, you know, and if they're like talking to him as they're cutting him out. And he's like, no, I'm fine. Get me out of this ass, you know, and just, it's what a match.
I remember when watching the match where Benoit broke Sabu's neck. That was like one of the worst bumps I've ever seen.
That was ridiculous.
And then they had some kind of Like, I think on one of the WWE DVDs, they had, like, you could hear him screaming, he broke my fucking neck. When he was outside. And that was, God, that could have killed him from the way that looked.
Yeah, his shoulder was at the same angle as his head was when he landed. He landed on his shoulder and the side of his face. Just folded him up. It was ridiculous.
Well, it was kind of his own fault, though.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it was
his
own fault.
He changed the bump.
He
wasn't supposed to bump
like
that. He did that on his own.
Something like that, and he tried to adjust something in midair. I don't know what the deal was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was totally Sabu's fault. It wasn't done well.
And as we know, Sabu's never fucked a bump up. Or a spy, never.
Never. I saw him screw up at least 10 the last time I saw him in
Man said he used to screw up spots on purpose just because so like, people could start chanting you fucked up and they could be like, they think they told us we fucked up, but we did it on purpose.
Speaking of
fucked
up Nate, they're having some wrestling here close to me this weekend.
Yeah.
Slammiversary in Dallas. Yeah. I'm not going. Christian's gonna be there. Apparently.
Oh,
yeah, that's what I heard.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
They're not gonna know. He's not the first person in that Hall of Fame, is he?
No, I can't remember.
That'd be
a
joke, wouldn't it?
There was... Who the heck was it? They just announced it last week, but, yeah, he's going to be there, but it's not the first guy they announced. Shoot.
What a trade.
Yeah.
Right.
That's like trading Herb Abrams' UWF tapes for Bill Watts' UWF tapes.
Right. Yeah.
I will say, I hadn't quite enjoyed WWE much the last few weeks, but the last couple of impacts, I think, have been pretty good.
Yeah. Actually,
Have you watched them?
No, not really.
They're pretty good.
Not bad.
Here, let me run down this card real quick for Sunday for anybody that's going to watch this show. I'll probably watch it. World Heavyweight title, Bobby Roode defending against Sting. Number one contenders match, Rob Van Dam versus Jeff Hardy versus Mr. Anderson. Like, and you see those three fight each other again. World Tag Team titles, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian versus AJ Styles and Kurt Angle, which probably be the best match on the show, it sounds like. Brooke Tessmacher against Gail Kim for the Knockouts title. Bully Ray versus Joseph Park. Joseph Park, he's funny. Samoa Joe against Austin Aries. That could be a hell of a match.
Yep.
Devon and Garrett Bischoff against Robbie E and Robbie T. I don't know why is this match on the pay-per-view. Card. Kid Cash versus Hernandez. I don't know where that came from. And Crimson's Open Challenge. On Wikipedia, it said Crimson against King Mo. I don't think that's who it's going to be. Did he have the worst win streak ever? It's like it's a win streak that hasn't gotten anybody over.
You know the bad thing is when they were in town last month, we got to meet some of the guys. And Crimson was one of them. He couldn't be nicer.
Really?
Such a nice dude. He spent a lot of time with my son and was real cool to him and gave him his shirt and signed an autograph for him. It was like the shirt that he wore to the ring. It was, just really cool guy. And
that's why we say somebody sucks, but I'm sure they're a wonderful person in real life.
Yeah. Just couldn't be nicer dude. And then he kind of sucks.
He pointed out on TV last night that his streak has been longer than Goldberg's. And Goldberg, I asked Goldberg about it on Twitter, and Goldberg said, who?
Awesome.
That's funny.
Awesome.
Well, we got anything else we want to talk about before we go, Craig?
No, I'm all talked out for the day. We got Brian Fritz coming up next week, and I've got a couple of guys on the line and even a gal on the line that will be hopefully getting in the next couple of months.
Sounds good. Let's not name names so we don't jinx it.
I'm not throwing out names because every time I throw out a name, something happens. So.
Get started, you got anything you want to talk about before we go?
No, I'm going to go watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer on Netflix.
Hmm.
Okay. Cool. Well, I really don't got too much to say. Just if you're still thinking about going to Vegas, get your ass to Vegas because you got 4 weeks.
And everybody stop watching wrestling. It sucks.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's not that bad. You guys are just dabblers.
Watch on Thursdays.
Yeah.
Didn't you just two weeks ago saying good Impact don't work for you?
Yeah, they're okay. I mean, I don't actually watch them live. I just kind of flip through them. But they're fine. I could do without Dixie Carter being a character and trying to act on my television. She's horrible.
Oh, man, I wish David Gano was on Facebook. I could ask her who wrote that stupid line for her.
Jesus. And then Thurge jumped in and punched out AJ Styles last night. It was terrible, too.
Yeah, he's not on right now.
But anyway, we'll be back next week with Brian Fritz because Between the Ropes is actually returning. And it's actually returning on Blog Talk Radio. So we'll have
so you'll be telling him how you have the best show on Blog Talk and not him.
I was asking him about it because what happened was I went to our page. I went to check just to see how the shows were doing. And you know how like it has like upcoming shows that, you know, kind of switch the pictures on that box picture?
Uh-huh.
I see Between the Ropes, and it flashed real quick, and I had already, like, clicked on to change screens, and I was like, wait a minute, what? I go, someone stole a fucking, I'm going to have to call Fritz and tell him, because, you know, Fritz has that name copyrighted. So I clicked back, and I'm like, and then it says, like, Brian Fritz. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, I texted him, I was like, who the hell did you go to Blog Talk? And he was like, well, that's that was the first night, and then he kind of started bitching about the sound quality, but I guess, you know, when you're actually used to doing an actual real radio show,
yeah.
Blog Talk is kind of a downgrade, but, you know, at least, you know, Between the Ropes is back. It was always one of my favorite shows back in the day. I don't think they had done it for like a year. So we'll have Fritz talking about the return of
Between the Ropes. Is
Digger back? Actually, I don't know because I haven't been able to have time to hear it. I'll probably be able to get to it tomorrow and stuff. But since it's Blog Talk Radio, I can see where he could have Dickerman back, you know. Yeah, that's when the show kind of actually jumped the shark is when they lost Dickerman because they were on different radio stations and the radio station wouldn't let Dickerman do it anymore. So
remember when they something happened and Dickerman left the show because this Sting got mad at him or something?
That it wasn't really why he left the show, but that he got in trouble for that. Sting was like demanding an apology because Sting no-showed and he started ripping Sting apart. You know, joking around and Sting heard about it and got all pissed off, but you know, we can ask you about that next week. So, yeah, everyone come back next week, and that'll be a fun time. So, everybody, we will see you all then.
Next week,
yeah. I'm trying to find the switchboard, and I can't find it. All right. Everyone come back next week. Where is the fucking thing? All right, sorry, here you go. And every week I can't find it.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the merchant shit! Let's go hook him up!
Oh! Here, about our heads
I want to drag you until I wear your Texas ass out.
That game is awesome.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.